Building a wall has been a central promise of President Donald Trump since his candidacy. And last month, in his address before Congress, Mr. Trump promised to deliver.
We will soon begin the construction of a great, great wall along our southern border.
The Department of Homeland Security is now considering bids from companies eager to build that wall. But are the people who live along the border eager to have it? I traveled to southeastern Texas earlier this month to find out. The border, people here tell me, has a unique culture. And one way you can tell is the different ways people pronounce the name of the place they live.
In the Rio Grande Valley.
Or the Rio Grande Valley.
The Rio Grande Valley sector.
Now, if you pronounce it in Spanish, it's Rio Grande City, but of course the English version is Rio Grande City.
Right there at the end, we heard Rio Grande City Mayor Joel Villarreal explaining how this is a place where two cultures meet. We'll hear more from him later, but for now we begin on a bridge. There's a celebration in the Rio Grande Valley that's been going on for more than 40 years. It's called Border Fest, and there's a long-standing tradition where the mayors of Hidalgo, Texas, and Reynosa, Mexico, two cities separated only by the Rio Grande, meet in the middle of a bridge and hug each other in solidarity.
Muy buenos días. ¿Cómo están todos ustedes?
Bien. The hug is symbolic, but it speaks to a fundamental truth on the border. The people gathered are not just neighbors. In many cases, they're family, friends, and business partners. The relationships here are intimate. And this year, Mayor of Hidalgo, Martin Cepeda, had a pointed message to share.
This hug is for friendship, for being good neighbors, for communication. That's what we need from both countries. We don't need divisions. We need bridges. We don't need walls.
There are few border walls in the Rio Grande Valley. You can stand on the banks of most of the river and see across to Mexico. We came to this part of Texas because it sees the largest number of people trying to cross illegally, and it's where the most apprehensions take place on the southwestern border.
Look at this beaten path coming up from the river. You think the border's secure?
Odie Emery is showing me the trails on his land left by people crossing illegally from Mexico.
You can see, it looks almost like little handholds have been carved into the side of the banks.
See where the trees are burnt down there?
Mm-hmm.
That's where they burnt the side of the river off, so they probably have an easier way to get up with their stuff.
Emery owns a 500-acre farm just outside of Progreso, Texas. On one side is the Rio Grande River, and on the other is one of the few border walls in this area.
It's probably 20 or a little over 20 feet total.
This stretch was built in 2007 under George W. Bush. There were grand plans back then for a border wall, but only a small portion was ever constructed because of lawsuits, environmental concerns, and a lack of money. Emery was one of the few people we spoke to who supports the wall as Trump has described it.
Who wouldn't want the wall? You know, crooks, you know, illegals, they're the only ones that don't want the wall. And we're not building a wall, or I don't think we're going to build a wall across the bridges. You can still enter legally and go see your family or go shopping or whatever you want to do. You know, I think they were just trying to stop the illegal activity.
So you support it? You think it's a good idea?
Oh, yeah. I think we have to support our borders. If we don't, the bad guys will come eventually take it away from us, you know? They're not going to care about us. They just want our, you know, the richness of America.
Emery says before the wall, there was a lot of vandalism and theft on his property. Less so now. He says maybe the people up north don't see a problem.
I totally understand that, you know, everybody sitting in their big easy chair at home, the TV saying there might be a problem, and they're looking around saying, well, I don't see any problem. Looks like it's all right to me, you know. And they just don't know because they haven't experienced it.
Do you feel like you're on the front line in a way to that, securing the country? Is that what it feels like?
Pretty close. Pretty close.
There is a man whose actual job it is to hold that front line, facing off against violent Mexican cartels and human smuggling gangs who wield enormous power.
My name is Manuel Padilla Jr.,
I'm the chief patrol agent of the Rio Grande Valley sector here in South Texas.
Padilla grew up in Nogales, Arizona. He's been with Border Patrol for 30 years, and he's credited with driving down cartel activity and illegal crossings in Arizona. He's now been tasked with doing the same for this stretch of the border. Now, when President Trump describes the border, he paints a picture of a place overrun by illegal activity.
We've defended the borders of other nations while leaving our own borders wide open for anyone to cross and for drugs to pour in at a now unprecedented rate.
Padilla says it's more complicated than that.
People will say the border is very dangerous or the border is very safe. And it's not a blanket statement that fits, you know, on either side. I can show you a border area where you actually have retired people from all over America that live right on the riverbanks. That area, those people are not terrified of a border being out of control. I can show you areas that I wouldn't take you at night because you are likely going to be rocked or get shot at. That's a very dangerous border area. So it's not a one-size-fits-all. You have different areas, and primarily our most volatile areas are the ones where we do not have the right mix of personnel, technology, infrastructure. That I can tell you all day.
A physical barrier, he says, is helpful in populated areas. But other parts of the border need other solutions, like cameras and access roads.
Can you secure the border 100%? I mean, I've never been to a border anywhere in the world that I've seen secured 100%. Is that possible here in the United States?
I do not feel that it is impossible. I don't know if it's practical to seal the border completely. If you look at the Berlin Wall, I think that was not 100% sealed. So I don't think it's practical.
The border has changed a lot over the years, and there's one place where you can get a sense of what it used to be like. At Los Ébanos, there's a hand-cranked river ferry, the last one left on the border. It takes cars and people across from the United States to Mexico for $1.25 a trip. But even though it may look like a throwback in time, there is a lot of security here. I met with NPR reporter John Burnett, who's been covering this area for decades. The last time the federal government tried to build a wall around here, it convulsed the area. How have you seen the border change over the years? How many agencies are there here working right now? President Trump says this border is wide open.
That's right. He says you can just walk right across. Well, good luck with that. I counted 7 uniformed agencies here. It goes all the way from local police, local sheriff, 2 kinds of customs and border protection. You've got ICE, you've got state troopers, you've got the National Guard. It's copland down here. And more on the way with 5,000 new border agents that will be hired in the coming years.
And right here, so people can understand, there is no physical barrier between Mexico, only the river.
Right. We're actually in a place, this is called the Upper Valley. This is Los Ébanos. It's near Starr County, which is where Rio Grande City and Roma are. They didn't build the fence here, but it's coming. They've already been acquiring land in Starr County just west of us. And so it's going to start all over again, the land condemnation, the lawsuits, all the equipment coming in to build the fence. So it's going to start this whole process. This is very unpopular.
Unpopular, especially among many of the local politicians.
We do want a secure border, but the wall is not going to be effective. It's not going to produce any better results than what we already have.
Joel Villarreal is the mayor of Rio Grande City, and the opinion he just gave was one we heard over and over.
Illegal immigration. Close to half of all illegal immigrants come here legally through visas. They overstay their visas and they become illegal. What percentage of actual barrier is it going to be statistically significant of producing any more results in what we're doing?
Villarreal says he's resigned to the wall coming, though.
I met with our patrol chief here with Border Patrol, and the idea was, okay, the wall is coming. It appears that it's going to happen. So what do we do to try to make the best of the situation? Because we have some concerns regarding this wall. One, a lot of individuals are actually private landowners. Make sure that they get their fair market value for that property. 2, local input to make sure that they have access to the river. Why? They're going to need access to the river. Many of them have water rights. So they're going to have pumping water straight out of the river and making sure they have access to it.
Ultimately, though, he says people in Washington are making decisions about something he feels they don't fully understand. And the rhetoric from President Trump has been especially damaging.
When there's an attack, absolutely it feels personal because it's actually attacking the integrity of the way of life here. And way of life in the sense that we have coexisted. We've been able to manage and have these partnerships that have been working for this area. So when you have somebody coming from the outside and saying to us here that there's a different way how they view our own relationships and interactions here, then they have no idea what they're talking about.
We'll be hearing more voices from the border later in the show, talking about trade with Mexico and about what it's like right now for people in this country illegally.
It's terrorizing. It's literally terrorizing. I mean, people are telling me they don't go out of their houses. They used to take walks at night. They would walk the dog. They would go to the grocery store. I've heard stories about people not taking their children to well child doctor visits, trying to figure out whether the child is sick or well enough that they can skip the visit.
That next hour. You're listening to NPR News.